Welcome. My name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Jeremiah. The Old Testament book of Jeremiah and chapter number 7. The Old Testament book of Jeremiah and chapter number 7. As we're progressing through the book of Jeremiah, of course, we're taking it in chronological order, the order that it happened in history. And so because of that, we sometimes jump around in Jeremiah just a bit. For example, just the other day, we were in Jeremiah chapter 27, I believe. And so we're just hitting things as it happened in history, building up to the climax, to the peak of where everything is going, and that's to the destruction of Jerusalem. And as we're taking it in chronological order, we're watching as God is dealing with a people through his prophet, trying to warn the people, return unto me, return unto me, return unto me. We watched as Jeremiah had started his ministry with a call of God, God telling him that I've chosen you from the very beginning. And he says, by the way, when you preach, they're not going to like your message. When you preach, don't look at their faces. When you preach, you do it unto me, because the other people's not going to appreciate it. And that was a true fact. His good friend, King Josiah, had ruled for a while and then had unfortunately died at a young age. One of Josiah's sons, Jehoiaz, ruled just a very brief time before Egypt came down and took him back to Egypt in chains. And now we are in the king Jehoiakim. And Jehoiakim is being persuaded to trust in things other than God and other than God's word. And now we find ourselves in the book of Jeremiah and chapter number 7. The book of Jeremiah and chapter number 7. And if you don't mind, notice with me starting at verse 1. Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse number 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Trust ye not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. For if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt, then I will cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. Behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will ye steal, murder, commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom ye know not, and come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations? Is this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. But go ye now unto my place, which is in Shiloh, where I set my name at the first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people Israel. And now, because ye have done all these works, saith the Lord, and I have spake unto you, rising up early and speaking, but you heard not. I called you, but ye answered not. Therefore will I do unto this house, which is called by my name, wherein ye trust, and unto the place which I gave to you and to your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh. I will cast you out of my sight, as I have cast out all your brethren, even the whole seed of Ephraim. Therefore, pray not thou for this people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession of me, for I will not hear thee. Seest thou not what they do in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather wood, and the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead their dough to make cakes to the Queen of Heaven, to pour out drink offerings unto other gods, that they may provoke me to anger. Do they provoke me to anger, saith the Lord? Do they not provoke themselves to the confusion of their own faces? Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, my anger and my fury shall be poured out upon this place, upon man and upon beast, and upon the trees of the field, and upon the fruit of the ground, and it shall burn and shall not be quenched. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, put your burnt offerings unto your sacrifices, and eat flesh. For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices, but this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. Since the day that your fathers came out of the land of Egypt, unto the day that I even sent you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them, yet they hearkened not unto me, nor inclined their ear, but hardened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. Therefore thou shalt speak all the words unto them, but they will not hearken to thee. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer thee. But thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished and cut off from their mouth. Cut off thy hair, O Jerusalem, and cast it away. Take up a lamentation on the high places, for the Lord hath rejected and forsaken the generation of his wrath. For the children of Judah have done evil in my sight, saith the Lord. They have set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to pollute it. And they have built the high places of Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my heart. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall be no more be called Tophet, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. For they shall bury in Tophet till there be no place. And the carcasses of this people shall be meat for the fowls of the heaven, for the beast of the earth, and none shall fray them away. Then will I cause to cease from the cities of Judah, from the streets of Jerusalem, the voice of mirth, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride, for the land shall be desolate. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that we find in Jeremiah chapter 7? Jeremiah chapter 7, and notice with me verse 8. Notice the phrase, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. Ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. And with the Lord's help, I'd like to preach a message from this passage about false trust that cannot profit. False trust that cannot profit. And if you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And I thank you that we can trust you and you will never fail us. I thank you that when we put our trust in you, that it is never misplaced, it's never misguided. I thank you that you are a real God. And as we go through this passage here, that we can understand that we're looking at as a reflection upon our own nation of this day, that we could see that they trust in false things that do not profit. But Lord, more than the people outside of the church, sometimes we ourselves trust in things that are not you. Help us to be aware and help us to be reminded to keep our trust and our heart, our dependence upon you. Even now, I cast my dependence on you, recognize that I need you. I dare not trust my own ability, my own thoughts, my own strength. I can't trust any of it. So, Lord, the best I know how, I surrender myself to you and ask that you fill me with your precious spirit and that once again you would do your own work through your precious word. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Starting in Jeremiah chapter 7, Jeremiah goes to the temple. And he goes in front of the temple and he declares another message. This message is actually a longer message. It covers Jeremiah chapter 7, chapter 8, chapter 9, and chapter 10. Then we see the reaction. How do people respond to this message in Jeremiah chapter 26? So as you can tell, it kind of just bounces around. But the whole entire message that Jeremiah preaches, he gets up in front of the temple as people are entering in, as they're planning on going to do their worship, as they're doing their daily sacrifices, as they're coming in. Jeremiah's outside, standing on the temple mount and declaring this message. And already as we read from it, from the tone of it, it probably wasn't well received like the rest of the messages that he had. And so if you don't mind, as Jeremiah is standing on the temple message, the first phase, the first part of this message that he is addressing to the people is a very clear message, is that you are trusting in false promises, false trust. You are putting your faith and your dependence on things that will not profit. Now that word profit is an important word, and make sure you spell it right. It is P-R-O-F-I-T, not like the prophet Jeremiah, but we're talking about profit. Well, remember that word profit means that it's good for you, it benefits you. We like things that profit us. We like things that help us. We like things that make us better. We like things that give us more cash. We like things that help us. Will you understand that when we're trusting in things that is not the Lord Jesus Christ, when we're trusting in things that is not God the Father, we're putting our faith and our dependence on things that will not profit us, that will not do us any good. In fact, it's going to cause us a lot of harm. And as we approach this message, we know that the people as a whole are depending on things. But as you go through here, I want you to keep in mind that from time to time, there are times that perhaps we don't trust in God. We may trust in our own strength, our own ability. We may trust in our jobs. We may trust in someone to help us out. We may trust something else for comfort. But you understand it is God that helps. It is God that is real. It is God that is able to help us out. And that we need to be careful that we ourselves don't put our trust into false trust that do not profit. As Jeremiah opens up this message and opens up this segment of this temple discourse, the first thing he points out is that here, what are some false trusts that do not profit? The first false trust that he covers is trusting in religion. Trusting in religion. Notice with me, as we approach right here in Jeremiah chapter number 7. Now, because this is more of a lengthy passage, I'm going to more survey it instead of walk through it one by one. But let me show you some of these things here. Verse number 4, Jeremiah chapter 7, verse number 4. It says, "Trust ye not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these." That what happened is that people begin to trust in the building more than the Lord itself. They more than the person, they're trusting in the building. You know, there's sometimes that we may say, well, I'm trusting in the church. Well, you know, more than the church, it's the Lord. We're trusting in the Lord. It is God that is our help. Now, here, they're doing the religious chant that people would actually show up and they're shouting, the temple of the Lord! The temple of the Lord! The temple of the Lord! And as they're shouting this empty religious chant, they're expecting just because they chant it, that they've already got God's help. You understand that we need to be careful because repetitious prayers can get to the place where we're just repeating things and not talking to God. Now I lay me down to sleep if I shall die before I wake. You know, that type of prayer. Rub-a-dub-dub, let me get some grub. You know, we can get to the place where we're saying words, but we're not talking to anybody. You know, words are not going to help us. It is God that helps us. You understand that even when salvation hits, that salvation does not come by a prayer. You say, wait a second, aren't you a Baptist? Don't you say that we need to pray? We do need to pray, but you understand a prayer doesn't save anybody. Jesus saves them. That when we're praying, we're just talking to the God who saves us. We're putting our dependence on Him that saves us. That is our vehicle. That is what we're saying. We're talking to Jesus and saying, Jesus, you save me. You understand, we got to be careful with even the repetitious words. We got to be careful with the words that are just coming over. We need to be talking to a person and not just saying words. We need to be depending upon the God, not a religious chant. That's why we, as Baptistic people, we don't give people a prayer book that says, hey, when you're in trouble, pray this. And when you go through this, pray this. And when you get lost, pray this. We want people to be talking to God and not just reading from a book. We want you to be speaking to Him from your heart. You understand, religion gives people the prayer books. God is a person that you should talk to individually. Trust not in lying words saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. It goes on and begins to say, instead, you need to be obeying me. Notice as we go on in verse number 10. Again, verse 8 is where we got the title. Behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. Notice what happens in verse number 10. Let's hit verse 9 for context. Will ye steal, murder, and commit adultery, and fare falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods to whom you know not, and come and stand before me in this house? This house is the temple. Remember, Jeremiah is outside in the temple. Which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. You understand what religion tells people? You can do whatever you want as long as you show up to church. As long as you come and say some Hail Marys. As long as you show up to church and let people pat you on the head. You can do whatever you want as long as you come to church. You understand, you cannot do these things. You cannot commit abominations. You can't go steal and lie and cheat and act the fool and live however you want from Monday to Sunday, Saturday, and come in Sunday morning and say, look, I showed up to church, I'm right with God. It doesn't work that way. You understand that it is a personal relationship with God that matters. That personal relationship is a daily relationship. You can't ignore God and do whatever you want for 6 days of the week and then expect to be right with God on the one day that you decide to show up and say, look, I'm religious now. You understand that you can't hold a bunch of prayer beads and say a certain amount of Hail Marys and all of a sudden your sins walk away. You understand a personal relationship with God is what is needed, not religion, not things. Just showing up to church does not make you right with God. Let me tell you another secret. Just because you read your Bible doesn't mean you're right with God. I know a lot of college professors who are not saved who read their Bible that are not right with God. You understand, Adolf Hitler quoted scripture quite a bit. He memorized more scripture than most of us have. But you understand, he was not right with God. Just because you're religious or act religious does not make you right with God. It is that personal relationship with God that matters. When you read your Bible, you're reading it to commune with Him, to speak with Him, and let Him to speak to you. You understand this idea of a chapter a day keeps the devil away? Satan likes that because it's not a personal relationship. You understand false trust that cannot profit. Religion is one of them. And religion is what a lot of people have. That as long as they show up to church every now and again. When it comes up, we have Resurrection Sunday right around the corner. And we'll have people that haven't been in church in 365 days. And they'll go up that one day. And they'll feel like they're right with God. Unless they hear a message like this on that Sunday morning. But you understand, that's what we live in, a religious nation, not a nation right with God. But as long as they do their little religious little things, they feel like they're all right. But let me tell you, that is a false trust that does not profit. Notice, if you don't mind, you might recognize this idea in verse 11. Is this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. You ever think about that? That God is already looking in the future, and he's looking and says, you know what? They're going to make my house a den of robbers. You remember when Jesus Christ had to go drive out the money changers? Because they were actually putting business on the temple, inside of the church building, inside of the temple. But not only that, they were cheating people. They were robbing people. People came from all the way around, and they didn't want to bring their cow 100 miles, so they would buy the cow there. Well, because they have to buy the cow there, they drove up the prices, and the people had to buy those prices, and there was all kinds of things going on, and Jesus was upset. Now, I know that Jesus is the God of love, and people like to look at Jesus as kind of the wimpy guy, but you understand, in the gospel record of John, as it talks about Jesus driving out the money changers, before he drives out the money changers, it says when he made the whip. You know what Jesus did? He knew what he was going to do. He actually took time to make the whip. You know what we call that in legal language? Premeditation. Jesus was preparing to go drive them out. He prepared for it. He made a whip. By the way, for those of people who think that Jesus is some wimpy guy, you know, if some little guy came in there and saw the money changers and came out, stop it, guys, you need to quit. Do you think they would run? Jesus was a man's man. When he came in with a whip, they all took off running. There was something. He was a man's man that went in there. But that's neither here nor there. But this is, God is saying, hey, look, you can't be trusting in religion. It's not the building. It is a person. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't trust in religion. Religion will take you to hell. Religion will keep you away from God. You have to trust in Jesus. You have to trust in the person. It is that personal relationship that people need. Religion is a false trust that will keep people away. As it goes on in the context, God reminds them, you remember what I did to Shiloh? You say, what did God do to Shiloh? Well, remember when, in Samuel's day, when people said, hey, the Philistines are outside of our door. Let's go bring the Ark of the Covenant. And if we have the Ark of the Covenant, we'll win the battle. You know what they were doing? They were trusting in a piece of furniture more than trusting God. And guess what happened? The Philistines got fired up and they beat the Israelites. And they took that piece of furniture. Now, God protected it and God took care of it anyways because it was his. But you understand, it is not the church building that we're trusting in. It should be the Lord. It's not our Bible reading that we're trusting in. It is the Lord. It's not our prayers. You understand, all of us can pray and we could get to the place of, look at what God did with our prayers. And we forget that there was a God that answered our prayers. Religion is a false trust that does not profit. It is the person of Jesus Christ that we depend and we trust in. Notice as we go on, that not only does trusting in religion a false trust that does not profit, there's a trust in heathen gods that does not profit. All right. The scene moves from the temple and God moves the scene to the streets of Jerusalem. So what's going on in people's homes? We understand what's going on in the temple, that people are trusting in things rather than a person. But what's happening in the streets? What's happening in the homes of people? Notice with me, if you don't mind, in verse number 16. Now, verse 16 is a very scary verse. In fact, let's hit that last. Let's hit verse 17. Seest thou not what they do in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather wood, and the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead their dough to make cakes to the queen of heaven, to pour drink offerings unto other gods, that they may provoke me to anger. So what's going on here? Well, the people, the family together is so excited. It's that special time of year. And everyone's excited. The whole family is preparing for this special holiday. And so what has happened is that the children, they're gathering up the firewood. Oh, we can't wait. We get to do this special time of year where our special God that we've been praying for all year is going to bring us presents. It's going to answer us questions. It's going to answer our prayers. And so they gather up the firewood. The dad puts it together and they build a nice fire. And then the lady, the wife, she's making cakes, making cookies for this God that is coming. And then they have a drink offering, a nice glass of milk and a bunch of cookies sitting right by the fire. So that way the God that they've been waiting for all year is going to come down and answer their prayers. Do you think that pleases God? Well, what does God say about this? Notice with me again in verse 18. And the children gather their wood, and the fathers kindle their fire. And the women knead their dough to make cakes to the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto other gods, that they may provoke me to anger. You know what happens when they're leaving out their drink offering and their baked offering by the fire, waiting for that one special time where their special God gives them the prayer request? It says that it provokes him to anger. That word provokes a very interesting word. It has the idea of taking a stick and poking a lion on the other side of the cage. Poke, poke, poke. Do you think that lion's going to say, keep doing that? Probably not. You understand what having the drink offering and the baked offering by the fire, waiting for that special time of year where that special God is going to come answer your prayers, that provokes God. It provokes him to anger. Since I'm already making people aggravated, let me go ahead and hit this Queen of Heaven. You know what this Queen of Heaven is? Ishtar, which we get the holiday of Easter. I'll let you hit that one later on. But this is specifically that holiday. You understand, this is the people look forward to those time of years where they would celebrate these very special holidays, worshiping these false gods and participating in the false rituals. And it provokes God to anger. Because the people say, oh, there's nothing wrong. This is our culture. Oh, we're just having fun. It provokes God to anger. Notice, if you don't mind, as it goes on, verse 19. Do they provoke me to anger, saith the Lord? Do they not provoke themselves to the confusion of their faces? God's upset here. He is very upset. And he says, I'm going to pour it down. How upset is God because of this? The temple, people are trusting in things other than a person. That people at home, they're worshiping these heathen gods. They're celebrating as a family. The whole family's so excited for these special times to worship their God. What does God say about this? Verse 16. Therefore, he's speaking to Jeremiah, pray not thou for this people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear them. You understand, that's a frightening verse where God says, hey, Jeremiah, don't even bother praying on behalf of these people. I am done with them. I am done with them. I am done with them trusting in false religion. I am done with them worshiping these heathen gods and not trusting in me. I am done with them, Jeremiah. I am done. You understand that God is pretty angry here. This is a God who's pretty upset. Why? They provoked him. They provoked him. They provoked him by worshiping these false gods. They provoked him by trusting in things rather than the person. Poke, poke. And God says, I'm done. I'm done. There's nothing you can do now. They won't turn. They won't obey. Fine. They're cooked. This is not good. It is not good at all. We understand there's some false trust that will not profit. That trusting in religion, it will not profit. Trusting in heathen gods, it will not profit. Trusting in self, it will not profit. Notice as we go on through the word of God here in verse number in this passage, and we could see that trusting in self, it does not profit. Notice with me in verse 21. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, put your burnt offerings under your sacrifices and eat flesh. For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings and sacrifices. But this thing commanded I them, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I've commanded you, that it may be well unto you. Notice that God goes back and gives him a history lesson. He says, I didn't talk about these sacrifices. I didn't command you to do these burnt offerings. When I brought the people into the land that I promised them, I brought them out of Egypt. The first thing that I commanded them was not how to do sacrifices. The first thing that I commanded them was not how to do these religious ceremonies. The first thing I commanded them was to obey me and to love me with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your might. You understand that sometimes we get to the place that instead of obeying God, we replace it with something else and expect God to be happy with it. You know, when you're not trusting in God, you're trusting in something else. Well, God will be happy with my sacrifices. I'll go ahead and do this and he'll be pleased. No, he said, I want you to obey me. I want you to obey me. Just do what I told you to do. Just love me. You know, that's pretty simple. But you know, instead of obeying God, we ourselves like to find other ways to get around it, to make us feel good, instead of just obeying what God clearly said. We're trusting in self. We're trusting in ourselves. Notice what the people said in response, verse 24. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and the imaginations of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. You know, instead of advancing forward, instead of moving closer to the Lord, they moved backward. They moved away from God because they were trusting in themselves. That God said, I want you to do this. No, I don't think I should. You understand that when it comes time to obey God, what we're doing is we're determining who is God in our life. If God is God, I obey him. If I'm God, I choose what I want to do. And you understand that's the problem each and of us have. All the way back to the Garden of Eden, when God looked back and said, now they are as gods. What does that mean? It means that we as a people, individuals, we determine what's right and wrong in our life instead of letting God determine what's right and wrong in our life. That's our problem, is that we're trusting in ourselves. We're trusting in what we want to do instead of what the Bible says to do. That when we come to a passage, instead of obeying what it says, we do what we want. And let me tell you, you trusting in yourself, it will not profit you. That we need to obey what the Bible clearly says. Now you say, this is rough. Well, you understand, we all have the temptation of trusting other things rather than trusting God. We like to delude ourselves, but it is God that is our help. Where does this lead to? How does this go? The rest of this passage up to verse 28 is talking about how they were not going to obey. They're not going to obey. They're not going to obey. Notice with me as we jump to verse 29. And we come to this last segment of this first phase of this message. Is that we see the judgments for false trust. The judgments for false trust. We've already seen that there's some false trust that does not profit. That trusting in religion, trusting in false gods, trusting in ourselves, those don't profit. Where does it take it? Where does the end of it go? We'll see the judgments of false trust. Notice with me in verse 29. Cut off thy hair, O Jerusalem, and cast it away, and take a lamentation on high places. For the Lord hath rejected and forsaken the generation of his wrath. For the children of Judah have done evil in my sight, saith the Lord. They have set up their abominations in the house which is called by my name to pollute it. That first of all, what happened is that the people brought things into the church that should have never come into the church building. And God says, no, I'm done, I'm done, I'm done, I'm done. Verse 31, and they have built the high places of Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire. Now, remember, I've already been explaining this, one of the most horrible things of all of history is that in the Valley of Tophet was the burning trash heap. And what happened is that people had set up the god of Molech, an image of it, and they set a slide. And what they would do is they would take their newborn babies and they would roll them down the slide into the mouth of Molech, into the open fire, and allow their children to burn. Notice what God says about this. He says, in verse 31 at the end, he says, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my heart. Now, again, it's speaking as man sense. We understand theologically that God knows the end from the beginning. But in this sense, as relating to man, that imagine God creating man. When God's creating man, in his mind, he never said, you know, when I create these guys, I really want them to go abort their babies. He said, this didn't come to my mind. This was not my intention. This is not what I designed them to be. He says, if we were humanistically speaking, I would have never dreamed for them to ever have done this. You understand how awful that sin is? If God is saying, hey, this is not what I ever intended ever, ever, ever to be done. But yet here they are, they're taking their babies, brand new babies, and sacrificing them to the god of sin. You understand that God is not pleased with our country for the very same thing. We may not have the show of the Valley of Tophet and rolling him down the slides, but we have just the same horrible sin, and God is not pleased with it. And God is not happy with it at all. Notice as it goes on. So verse 32, what's going to happen? Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall be no more called Tophet, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. For they shall bury in Tophet till there be no place. And the carcasses of this people shall be meat for the fowls of heaven and for the beast of the earth, and none shall fray them away. And it goes on and it gives the judgments to come. In fact, in chapter 8, verses 1 through 3, it's talking about how they're worshiping the sky gods. They're doing astrology. They're getting their signs from that. And God says, I'm going to get done with them too. Now, what's going to happen is that God says, all right, fine. You want to be that way? I'm going to send a judgment. I'm going to put so many of your carcasses into the Valley of Hinnom that it's going to be stacked up with your carcasses. And that happened on July 19th, 586 BC, when the Babylonians came and they destroyed Israel and destroyed Jerusalem. God carried out that promise. But you understand that what is happening in the book of Jeremiah is that they're leading to the fall of Jerusalem. And God is now pleading out the case. He's now reading it. He's now saying, you want to know why I'm going to destroy Jerusalem? Let me tell you the ways. And he's giving them and he's telling them. He's reading the order. He's reading the sentence. He's explaining the charges. He's putting forth the case. Because they're trusting in everything else but God himself. Now, if I ended the message right here, you'd leave pretty depressed. If I left the message right here, you'd say, wow, this is awful. But I learned a long time ago that that's not where we leave messages. We always leave messages with hope. We always leave messages by looking unto the Lord. And so if you do not mind, notice with me in the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah in chapter 26. The Bible is very clear about saying, trusting in false prophets that do not profit. Or trusting in false... trusting... Excuse me. Trusting in false trusts that do not profit, that trusting in ourselves does not work. Trusting in heathen gods do not help. Trusting in religion does not help. So what does help? What is it that we're supposed to trust in? Notice with me Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26, and familiar passage for many of you. Isaiah 26, and notice with me starting at verse 3. Isaiah 26, and in verse 3 the Bible says this. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Why? Because he trusteth in thee. You want to know where we could get perfect peace, a peace that passeth all understanding? You know how you could have peace in the midst of Jeremiah's day? You know how you could have peace in the day that we live in here? Keeping our mind on him. Why does our mind stay on him? Because we trust in him. Now, let's be very practical. What does it mean that our mind stays on him? Let's be practical. You let your mind blank out, meaning that you stop thinking about it, and let your mind wander. Where does your mind go to? What your mind goes to is what you want to think about, right? You understand that if we purposely and consciously keep our mind on him, it's an evidence that we're trusting in him. I like to think about the Lord. I like to sing about the Lord. That's what we should be. And when we're thinking about the Lord and we're, you know, you're driving down the road and thinking about the Lord, then you got some blank time that you don't have to think about work. Now, if you have to think about work, we understand you got to think about work. If you're teaching a class, you got to teach class. If you're doing your finances, do your finances. But we're talking about when you have the free time, what do you think about? You think about the television show you just watched? You think about lunch tomorrow? What does your mind think about when it has time? Notice what the thing is. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Why is it stayed on thee? Because we trust in thee. You understand? We can have perfect peace. And if someone who is a born-again believer does not have peace, it is because their mind is not on God. It could be because of disobedience. It could be just because of rebellion. It could be just because there's something else they would rather think about. But you understand, every single one of us can have peace. It doesn't matter if someone comes up and accuses you of something wrong. You can have peace. It doesn't matter if you lose all your home in a fire. You can still have peace. It doesn't matter if your health is going wrong. You can have peace. And you understand, we live in a world today where people don't have peace. And don't have this perfect peace that the Bible talks about. But we can. But we can. Because trusting in God always profits. Notice verse number 4. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. You understand that God will never fail. He will never quit. He will continue to go on. That God is an amazing God. He is an outstanding God. He is a God who will never fail and never let us down. That when you put your trust in him, it will always profit you. It will always help you because he can give us peace. We have a wonderful God. And again, we can all look outside of these four walls and we can understand that we live in a world that does not trust God. They have religion, they trust in themselves, and they have their heathen gods. But you understand, we don't have them in this building here. We have us. So we have to look at us. And if we are realistic of what we look at, sometimes we're trusting in other things other than God. Have you ever been to the place where you're trusting in the mailman? That you kept checking your mailbox, hoping that there's a check that you didn't know was coming, just maybe's in there? Have you ever trusted in the government? They'll always let you down. You understand, we could put our trust in all kinds of things that will let us down. You could put your trust in people, and let me tell you, people will let you down. You could put too much trust in me, and let me tell you, unfortunately, there may be a time I will let you down. But Jesus will never fail you. We have to keep our trust in him. Keep looking at him. It's him. It's him. It's him. And that God gives us a wonderful promise that thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Why? Because we trust in thee. If you're thinking about him all the time, that's because you trust him. Because you think about him all the time, it's evidence that you're depending upon him, that it's him, it's him, it's him. You know, sometimes we get anxious because we're afraid something's not going to work out. We got to keep our eyes on him. Keep our trust in him. Who have you been trusting? What have you been trusting? Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.